As we gather today on this, the Lord's Day, what a joyful opportunity to worship and to give thanks to God for all that God has done and continues to do throughout our lives. What a refreshing opportunity to have the rain come down and quench the earth and move away a little bit of the heat that has been around us. And then what a joy to be able to gather here today and to worship. Just some announcements. First one in the bulletin is a thank you from Nancy Gore and regarding Vacation Bible School, and a great thank you to all those who have helped this year with the teaching and with crafts and refreshments and activities. Profound thank you to many of you who provided snacks throughout the week. What a wonderful selection of snacks, always with VBS. And on Monday night, just to give you a really quick overview, we have various different themes. And the theme Monday night was When We Wander, W-O-N-D-E-R, We Can Trust Jesus. And we told the story about Jesus' baptism with John the Baptist. On Tuesday night, our theme was When We Feel Alone, We Can Trust Jesus. And our Bible story was Jesus teaches about God's love for us. And then on Wednesday night, When We Feel Powerless, We Can Trust Jesus. And our Bible story was the Roman official who asked Jesus to heal his servant. On Thursday night, our theme was When We Need Hope, We Can Trust Jesus. And our Bible study was Jesus died and comes back to life. And then last night, Friday night, our last night, our theme was When We Need Help, We Can Trust Jesus. And the theme, the Bible story was both the Great Commission out of Matthew 28 and the coming and ascending of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. So what a wonderful, wonderful time that was. So good to have all the children. We had about 20 children with us, and that's a wonderful thing, to see. Our July mission of the month would be the Schenectady City Mission. And as we receive the offering on today, then that will go toward that ministry. Also, just a reminder, I'll be away on August 17th and the 24th. That's a change from what we normally do. We normally do the first two Sundays in August. Now is the third and the fourth. With college-age young men, now we have to shift. We shift, don't have to, we shift. Enjoy doing that. We want to be with our sons. Craig Foote is still organizing ushers and greeters. Please see him if you're willing to serve in that endeavor. All right, we do have a couple of prayer requests that we'll mention in just a moment or two before we pray. But I wonder if there's other announcements we wish to share. Nancy?
Yes, I just want to say that next Sunday after church, I will have a short meeting for those who are involved with Vacation Bible School, just to recap how the week went. And I'm starting my campaign for Reefs Across America, so if you want to help donate for a reef.
Right. Reefs Across America starts now, and then just a kind of a get together for VBS to talk about how the week went, if there's areas of improvement, things we want to do differently, so forth. And then I saw Fran's hand.
There will be choir practice right after church today. And also on September 28th, Vicki Truitt is available for a concert. So if there's anyone who would like to attend, mark that on your calendars. I'm going to see if the date is still available.
Is that September 28th?
September 28th.
All right. Yes, Craig.
Just want to let you know that their August newsletter is in the back and available there. And yes, it does have information about Reese Across America.
All right. Thank you. Are there any other announcements we wish to share? Seeing none, our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. At peace with God. Thank you, Linda. Let us join together for our singing our introit or worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Our sentences this morning will bring us to the book of Hosea, one of the minor prophets. Hosea has a wonderful, interesting story. Encourage you, if you haven't read the book in its entirety, it's not a real long book. You will be blessed, I know indeed. Hosea chapter 1. Verses 2 through 10. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits great harlotry by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And on that day, I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. She conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Call her name Not Pitied, for I will no more have pity on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have pity on the house of Judah, and I will deliver them by the Lord their God. And I will not deliver them by bow, nor by sword, nor by war, nor by horses, nor by horsemen." Yet the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which shall be neither measured nor numbered. In a place where it was said to them, "You are not my people," it shall be said to them, "Sons of the living God." Let's continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus.
Love of Jesus, fast on.
please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God, that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Most holy and merciful Father, we acknowledge and confess before you our sinful nature, prone to evil and slow to do good, and all our shortcomings and offenses. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways and wasting your gifts and forgetting your love. But, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are ashamed and sorry for all wherein we have displeased you. Teach us to hate our errors, cleanse us from our secret faults, and forgive our sins for the sake of your dear Son. Hear us as we spend a few moments in silent prayer and reflection. Hear us as we pray. And, O most holy and loving God, help us to live in your light and walk in your ways, according to the commandments of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news, and let us live in the loving kindness of our Lord. Just before we're seated, let us affirm what we believe by saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Hear these words that our Lord Jesus Christ have said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. Our words of assurance will come to us from Psalm 138, verses 1 through 8.
I give thee thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing thy praise. I bow down towards thy holy temple and give thanks to thy name for thy steadfast love and thy faithfulness. For thou hast exalted above everything thy name and thy word.
On the day I called, thou didst answer me. My strength of soul thou didst increased. All the king of the earth shall praise thee, Lord, for they have heard the word of thy mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord, for thou, the Lord, is high. He regards the lowly, but the haunting he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou dost preserve my life.
Thou dost stretch out thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purposes for me. Thy steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of thy hands.
This is the word of the Lord. As Linda goes to prepare for the ministry of music, what a wonderful joy always to hear the reading of scripture. I love it when I hear adults read, and I love it when I hear the young read. And today we were blessed with both. And so thank you so much, and this scripture before us. In our ministry of music, you have the words before you, Your Amazing Love. You're invited to sing along if you know this hymn, this song, as we hear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's join together, please, as we join in our next hymn of praise, I Would Be Like Jesus, 388. If you're able to stand with us, I invite you to do so at this time. Please be seated. Well, it took me halfway through the third verse before I got how that song goes. I thought I knew that one. But what a wonderful way of expressing our faith, even in maybe unfamiliar songs, hymns to some, the words ring definitely true. I would be like Jesus. Holy Father, how much we're so grateful to be in your presence on this Sunday morning. And Father, we've gathered into this space, this sacred space, for the purpose of worship. We would worship you. And so we would ask that as we read again from your holy word, we've heard earlier Psalm 138, we've read Hosea chapter 1, and now, Father, here in Luke 11, we pray that you would speak to us of eternal words, that we might know you, we will be like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture again will be in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. What a wonderful way to pray. A wonderful way to pray. Luke chapter 11. He, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on the journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if he asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, he will give him a scorpion? And then verse 13 will be the last that we'll read for this passage. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Teach us to pray. And what a wonderful way to pray. And we will be mistaken if, when we look at Jesus' response to teach us to pray, if we say Jesus gave them how to pray in 5 verses, verses 1 through 4. And we'll say, "Well, that's where Jesus taught them to pray." No. Jesus' answer to their question, "Teach us to pray," lasts all the way down to verse 13. And I would even argue even further, but more specifically, in verse 13. And we recognize the first 4 verses very well, because we, within our Christian churches, pray what we have named the Lord's Prayer. And we go through that, and we can recite that by heart. And you might have noticed, I'm sure you did, that on the last petition, there's a word that is missing: "Deliver us from evil," or "the evil one." And some Greek manuscripts include that for Luke. But in order to see that particular phrase, you have to go over to the only other place in the New Testament where Jesus repeats these types of words, and that's in Matthew's Gospel chapter, Matthew chapter 6, I believe that's verses 9 through 13, that speaks of the Lord's Prayer, and it ends with, "and deliver us from evil." And I think I might start there if I might. That phrase, "deliver us from evil," if we say it only that way, we really do misjustice to what the text actually says. The text written in Greek uses that word evil, that adjective, in a substantive form, which means it is not deliver us from evil, but deliver us from the evil one, the evil one. Now, who is the evil one? Satan. For us to just simply say, deliver us from evil, there's evil around us, all around us, no matter where we might go. And so we might rightly say, well, God doesn't answer that prayer because he didn't deliver us from evil. There's evil around. But the prayer is actually, deliver us from the evil one. He's the one who will want to destroy you. He's the one who will want to bring about this, all sorts of disease and destruction in our lives. But look at the wonderful words when the disciples, and by the way, verse 1 says, when Jesus finished praying, they asked him. The text doesn't tell us how long that was. But from what we gather, when Jesus spent time in prayer, it was a long time. It was just a long time because it was that moment where Jesus in earthly form was able to speak to his heavenly Father, who is his own self, the first person of the Trinity, and have that conversation. It's almost as if being able to speak to a friend and a loved one you haven't seen for a while, and you get together and have a long conversation. How nice that is. And you hate to see that end. Well, Jesus began to keep on praying. And they said, teach us. And so Jesus says, when you pray, first of all, talk to God, our Father who's in heaven. And then know that his name is unlike any other name. That's why it's so important, beloved. Forgive me for meddling for just a moment. But it's so important for us to guard the name of Jesus. That whenever we say his name, it ought to be in praise, not as part of a cuss word. And I know folks who do that. I mean, they just come out with his name, and maybe someone surprises them, or maybe they're upset, and they use God's name blasphemously. And one of the things that this prayer teaches us is that God's name is holy. That means it's separate, it's different than any other name. And then Jesus goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. You know, give us what we need for this day. And in some translations, it will use on tomorrow. That means we're trusting you for our needs beyond this day. But we're not worried about tomorrow, because tomorrow's not here. We're concerned about this day. And God, give us exactly what we need on this day. Your will be done in heaven as it is on earth. And then he goes to say, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive those who are indebted to us. And that's a very important phrase. Another way of saying that is, forgive us in the same way that we have forgiven others. Let that sink in for just a little bit. Because we kind of perhaps expect God to forgive us our sins and not bring them back up, but we treat other people differently, don't we? Oh, we hold them to a different standard. They do things to us, or they say things to us. And beloved, I'm not belittling the damage and the hurt that others do. But when we say, I forgive them, what we're saying is, I forgive you in a way that God has forgiven me. Paul said it in a different way in Ephesians 4:32. He said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And so we forgive others in the same way that God forgives us. So in our prayer, we ask God, forgive me in a way that I forgive my brother and sister. And beloved, that might change the way that I forgive them, wouldn't it? Especially when I think about how much of a great debt God has forgiven me. And I am no better than anyone breathing oxygen in this room. The only one's greater than all of us is Jesus. And by God's grace, we're able to forgive. Now, there's a phrase here that's not used in Luke's gospel and some of the other Greek translations. By the way, there's over 100 Greek versions for the gospels, which blows my mind. The gospel has been written down by Greek scholars for a long time, and for many, many, many. The New Testament, that is, the epistles, and their husbands, the apostles, the epistles do not have that many different Greek translations, but the gospels do, the first four books. So it leaves out in Luke, and deliver us from evil, or the evil one. And that word deliver is a word, ice pharaoh, which is to carry me into something. And so we're saying, God, do not carry me into temptation. There's temptation all around us, but we need not be immersed into it. And the one who protects us from being immersed into it is Jesus. Is Jesus. Now, I know it's warm, and I've been yapping for a little bit. If you bear with me for just a couple more moments, and I don't know how to tell time, so it might be a little bit more than 2 minutes. Just a couple more moments on when Jesus taught his disciples to pray. It wasn't just on those verses that we recite. He also said, when you pray, it's like this. You go to a friend's house, or friend, excuse me, goes to your house, and he arrives at nighttime. We know that because the person says they're in bed. It's at nighttime. And he knocks on the door. Now, what would you do when you're hearing that sound? You know, the first couple of times, you kind of ignore that thing, right? But the more they go, and the more they go, and the more they go, demands your attention. And so you answer, and you say, well, I'm not able to give you because it's not convenient at this time. In those days when families would rest and recline, everyone will lay on the floor. It's almost like camping, if you would picture that, in a big old room. And by the front door would be the dad, because that is where thieves and robbers would come. So he would want to be the first one laying down there. So he's laying by the door, and his family is laying next to him. It's usually the wife next to him, and then the children, all the way to the youngest. The thought was, if someone came in to do harm, by the time they got to the youngest, it would be a long time. So you want to keep the youngest safest. And in order for you to get up and get bread, you got to step over everybody. Now, any of us who had an infant who would cry a whole lot and finally fell to sleep, the last thing in the world you want to do is wake that blessed bundle of joy up, because they'll spend the rest of the night crying. So he said, I'm not getting up. I'm sorry, friend, I am not getting up. But he said, because of the importunity. What that means is, because they kept on knocking and kept on asking. And that's what God invites us to do to him. Some of us, when we pray, say, well, I gave it to the Lord in prayer. He didn't answer. Well, that wasn't long enough. Keep on talking. And God doesn't do that because he's a cruel or mean God. But what God is trying to teach us is patience and trusting in his timing. God's timing is different from ours. And then he gives that wonderful example, and we close with these words in the later, last part of Luke's gospel, beginning with verse 10. He says, well, ask and you shall seek and find, and whoever asks and knocks, the door will be open. And then he says, who among you, if your son asks for a piece of fish, would instead give him something that will hurt him? Scorpion. You wouldn't do that. None of us would. I trust none of us would. Now, I know in this world there are people who hurt others. I don't understand that personally. I don't understand hurting animals. I don't understand hurting other human beings. There are people who do that, but good people don't. Good people say, I will never give my child who's asking for fish, I will never give them a piece of scorpion. I will never give them something that will hurt them. In the same way, God will never, ever give us anything that will hurt us. God will never, ever, ever allow anything to happen to us beyond his will that will hurt us. That's why we say, carry us, help us, teach us that in loving you, we also love one another. One of the things that plagued the disciples oftentimes is that they were known for always fighting and arguing and bickering. And Jesus would be the referee oftentimes. And Jesus over and over and over again was trying to teach them how to love one another. That's what we need in our churches today. And I'm not just talking about in Wastana Reformed Church, although we do need to know how much greater to love one another. But everyone who calls themselves a Christian in this world need to know how to love as Jesus loved. And God give us that opportunity to do so. I am so glad that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, because in doing so, he also taught us how not only to pray, but how we best relate with other believers. Father God, we thank you for your word, how deep and how wide and how vast the scriptures are. And we have just scratched the surface in these few little moments we've had together. And give us opportunity, maybe even later on today or sometime this week, to dig deeper into your word and to have conversation with you and the Spirit of God. That you in this text ends by saying one of the greatest gifts you give is the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who abides in us, who remains with us. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right now, we invite our ushers to come as we receive our tithes and our offering, and the mission of the month is Schenectady City Mission. we thank you for the opportunity to receive these gifts, both for the ministry of Austin Reformed Church and its Schenectady City Mission. We pray your blessing on these in Christ's precious name. Amen. Let us pass to peace. Fran mentioned a moment ago in announcements that there's choir rehearsal after the service this morning, and we certainly do invite you to join us, and we'll practice right up front here for a choir special. And what a joy to be able to do exactly what we spent time speaking about a moment ago, and that is to pray, and to pray to God. I mentioned to you that there were a couple of prayer requests that I received this morning. One is to pray for Linda Young's cousin, Cheryl. Cheryl is still having some serious health conditions and is in need of some fervent prayer. And then if we can pray for Gloria Orloff. So glad to see Gloria here with us. But Gloria will be having a hip replacement on Tuesday at St. Peter's. And if we can keep Gloria in our prayers, she mentioned to me, so I may not be here on next Sunday. And she will want to be, but she don't know if she's going to be well enough. And I tell you, as a pastor, you love to hear things like that. God bless you, sister. And if we keep, as we keep Gloria in our prayers, and I would encourage you on Tuesday, not only as we pray today, but when Tuesday comes, would you just lift her name in prayer and ask God's grace to be upon her and Cheryl. I wonder, are there any other prayer requests we wish to remember on this morning? Okay. I do not see any. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Good and gracious God, you are both good and you're also gracious. All of us can testify in our lives and bear witness to your manifold grace, more than what we deserve. But you are a loving, giving God. And Father, you have invited us to come to talk with you, not because you're lonely. There's nothing lonely about you. You have heaven and all its hosts. You have the angelic beings that have been with you since the beginning. You have our loved ones who have gone on into your presence. There's nothing that's lonely about you that you ask us to pray. But you ask us to pray for our benefit so that we might know you and that we might become more like you and that we might, like you, love others. For God so loved the world that he gave your only begotten Son. And it is this world that we are part of. And so thank you, Father, that as part of our praying, it's also your teaching us how to be like you. Father, we thank you that we can call upon you and ask, and we know that you are a healing God. Many of us are here today only because you've healed us physically. And so, Father, I pray for Cheryl, Linda's cousin. I pray, Holy Father, for her various physical needs, even right now. Father, that your hand of mercy and grace will be upon her. May she even sense your presence. Likewise, as Gloria is with us today, may she know that as we pray for a successful hip replacement on Tuesday, that her church will be praying for her on that day as well. And so we will pray, Father, both for Cheryl and for Gloria and for others whose names we have not whispered out loud, but you know them. The Father, each one who will have procedures done, I pray, Holy Father, that you will be with the surgeon, whomever they may be. May their minds be focused and their eyes sharp and their hands steady in performing these procedures. And may the one who heals us bring about healing. We pray for our world, our places in our world that are under war and distress and famine and disease and fires and floods. Father, we pray for the hurting, the lonely. We pray for the dying, those under hospice care. Father, we pray for ourselves. And then as we spend a few moments in silent prayer, Holy Father, we ask that you will hear our prayers. And we remember the words you've taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Let us take our hymnals, please, and turn unto our last hymn of praise. It is well with my soul.
Yeah.
keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you God's peace.